anyone wants to join us over here, we're doing a demonstration. Sorry. A feedback.
Okay, there you go. Sorry.
We're doing a demonstration of the biblical spring feast. There's actually four feasts that are celebrated in the spring that are biblical, by the way, by the Jewish people. And you can find them in Leviticus chapter 23. They're outlined in the book of Leviticus. The first one is the Pesach, or the Passover. And when we think of Passover, we think of the Israelites coming out of bondage, out of Egypt, and how he brought them out of bondage to bring them into a covenant at Mount Sinai, where they received the law of commandment. And Passover is a reminder of this deliverance, yet it also has a greater truth in the Messiah, and we'll get into that right now. If you look here, there's a Seder plate, and on the Seder plate every year, in the Jewish home, they have elements. Now, you've heard of communion, where at church you take some bread and some wine, and it represents the body and the blood of our Lord. Well, here's an expanded version of it. And the great thing about the Passover is not only do we hear the gospel, but we get to eat the gospel. So what we have here is, first of all, a Messianic Passover Haggadah. And we look in this and go through the order of service. And the first thing they do in the Jewish home is they search for leaven. Now, leaven is yeast. And yeast in the Bible is a representation of sin. Or I should say a physical sign of a spiritual truth. And what they do every year in the Jewish home is they go into their cupboards, into their closets, wherever, and they get all of the yeast, all the Twinkies, all the breadcrumbs, everything that has leaven in it, and they clean it out of their house, take it in the backyard to burn it. And it has a physical lesson that teaches something spiritual. Can anybody tell me what the spiritual lesson would be in that? To clean the leaven out of your house. Leaven in the Bible is a symbol for what? Does anybody know? For sin. So, by cleaning out the leaven from our houses, it's a picture of something, of cleaning out the leaven or sin from our lives. And another element that's celebrated are four cups. There's four cups in the Passover Seder. And they're based on the four I wills that God blessed Israel with, outlined in Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And he says, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you from my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Now, the first blessing that's recited is over the first cup, which is the cup of sanctification in the Passover Seder. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam barei pri hagafen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit from the vine. And the cup of sanctification represents that we need to be sanctified unto God, just as he sanctified the children of Israel unto him at Mount Sinai through a marriage covenant. And that marriage covenant was the giving of the law. Now, one of the first elements of that's presented on the Seder plate is the carpus, or the parsley. And the parsley represents the hyssop the children of Israel used to put the lamb's blood on the lintel and on the doorposts of their homes, that death would pass over that home. That's where we get Passover. Actually, Passover means, in Hebrew, Pesach, which means to spring, jump, or pass over. Okay, it's probably where we get the word spring, is from Pesach. And so the children of Israel were commanded to put the lamb's blood on the doorposts and on the lintels of their home, that death would pass over and not slay the firstborn of that house. Now what's interesting is our Messiah, the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua HaMashiach, better known as Jesus the Christ, He delivered us who believe in Him with an outstretched arm, just like God delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. Egypt, remember, is also a picture of bondage to the world. So Messiah, being our Passover lamb, was sacrificed, and by applying His blood to the doorpost of our heart, death will pass over us, and we inherit the promised land forever. So we see a great lesson of the Messiah in the Passover, in that His blood we need to apply to the doorpost of our hearts. Another element within the Passover Seder is the salt water. There's always a cup of salt water on the Seder plate. And what's traditional is to dip the parsley in the salt water and to eat the parsley. And the salt water represents tears that were shed in slavery to Pharaoh. Also, it reminds us who believe in the Messiah of the tears we once shed when we are in slavery to the world, to bondage and to sin. I myself have been redeemed for about 20 years, but before that, you don't want to know what I was into. The next element we'll go over is the unleavened bread. Now, the unleavened bread is bread without leaven, so it's without yeast. And remember, we had said yeast in the Bible represents, it's a physical lesson of something spiritual, which is represents sin. So basically, the children of Israel were delivered so quickly from Egypt that there was no time for the dough to rise in their bread. Yet as we look at the Pesach, or the Passover, what's interesting is it's a picture of how God wants us to be, unleavened, without sin. Also, for the past 2,000 years, at every Jewish home, they have what's called the matzah tash. And this bag is also known as the bag of unity. It has three compartments in it. And there's significance to it having three compartments. And in each one of the three compartments, they put a piece of unleavened bread, or matzah. So we got three right here. One, and then the middle piece. Two, and then the final piece. Three. So here we have what's also known as the bag of unity. And every year in the Jewish home who celebrate Passover, they have this bag of unity with three pieces of matzah in each one of the three compartments. And what's interesting is the father, just before the meal, takes the middle piece of matzah. Not the first piece, not the third piece, but he takes the middle piece of matzah. And he breaks it in half. And he takes one half and puts it back in the matzah tash. And the other half he puts in what's known as the afikomen, which is a Greek term which means that which comes after, because it's the true dessert of the Passover meal. It can also mean that which comes again. And we'll get into that later. But the other half of the matzah goes in the afikomen. And the afikomen is a linen cloth, and it's wrapped in the linen cloth and is hidden by the father somewhere for a young child to go redeem after the dinner for a reward. And we'll see the picture of the Messiah in this as well. So I'm going to give it to you. You represent the father, and you're going to go hide it somewhere, okay? Anywhere. And remember the significance of the middle piece. The next element on the Seder plate is the maror, which is the bitter herbs. So what we do is we take a piece of matzah. I don't have all the elements here, but I have a picture of them all right here. This is like a children's Seder plate. And the great thing about Passover is you can teach children by physical lessons of spiritual truths, because children are very visual. And when they see these things done, they ask the Father, well, why do we do this? Okay? Why do we dip unleavened bread in bitter herbs? Well, because it reminds us of the tears, the bitterness that we were once in when we were in slavery under Pharaoh. Also, another element they do is they have the karoset. Now, the karoset, they dip the matzah in the karoset, and what that is a sweet mixture of apple, nuts, and honey. And what it represented was the brick mortar the children of Israel used to build Pharaoh's buildings. But why is it sweet? Why would something that represents slavery be sweet? Because even though the children of Israel were in slavery for 400 years to Pharaoh, it was always sweetened by the hope of redemption. Because there's a prophecy in the book of Genesis that says after 400 years, God would deliver Israel out of bondage with many possessions. Another element on the Seder plate is, after the bitter herbs, we have a roasted egg here too. The roasted egg is not your Easter egg, but if you want to take that, that's okay. Actually, Easter is a pagan holiday, believe it or not. The term comes from Ishtar, which is the goddess of fertility. So when we think of the term Easter, it'd be better to say the resurrection day, okay? Anyway, the roasted egg represents the burnt offering the children of Israel no longer have. Because there's no temple, there's no priesthood, and there is no sacrifice. So what they have on their Seder plate is a roasted egg. Also on their Seder plate, they have a shank bone. And since there is no temple, priesthood, or sacrifice, they can't sacrifice the Passover lamb properly. But the problem with that is the law tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement for sin. So how do we justify this? How is Israel atoned for or covered? How are their sins paid for? Okay. Well, we know that Yeshua, Jesus, was the Passover lamb. And none of his bones were broken, just like none of the Passover lamb's bones were commanded not to be broken when they feasted in Egypt. And also, since the Messiah is the sacrifice, okay, he by his blood and by his wounds we are healed. So every year the Jewish people have a shank bone to remind them of the sacrifice they don't have. But if we read the New Testament, there is a sacrifice that we have in God's Son. There's not just an atonement for a short time, but an atonement forever in the Messiah. So we see a great picture of the Messiah within the Passover dinner. Now, the exciting part of the meal, the dessert. After the dinner, which doesn't consist of Passover lamb, they don't eat lamb at Passover, and the reason is because there is no temple in Jerusalem, so it couldn't be sacrificed properly. And that's why they just have the shank bone. Okay? So, since they don't eat lamb because they're also not in the land and there is no temple. But, what they do in the Pesach, the Passover, is after the dinner, a young child goes and searches for the afikoman that the father hid. Now the child goes and he searches for the linen sack with the piece of unleavened bread. And he brings it back to the father. And the father usually gives him a great reward, like 20 bucks, like 5 bucks, or even a new set of car keys if he's of age, okay? But what we see in this is a great picture of the death of the Messiah, in that his body was broken, right? The burial of the Messiah, in that his body was hidden in the earth, or hidden, and the redemption of him in that he rose from the dead and ascended back to me, back to the Father, for a reward. And what do you think Messiah's reward is? The eternal redemption of those whom he loves. So here we have a linen sack, which is representative of grave clothes. And our Messiah was wrapped in a linen sack and redeemed back to the Father. He ascended. 40 days after the Passover, he ascended back to the Father. Now also, what Yeshua did, Jesus did after the dinner, is he broke this middle piece of matzah. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, take this and eat it, for this is my body which is broken for you. Whenever you eat of it, do this in remembrance of me. And if we look at the matzah, first of all, we know the matzah is what? Unleavened, without sin. And our Messiah is said that he is the bread which comes out of heaven. Our fathers ate manna in the desert, but Yeshua said, I am the bread of life, and whoever eats of this bread shall not die but live forever. For 3,500 years, this bread has been known as the bread of affliction. And if we look at this bread, it has burn marks. He was afflicted. It has stripes. By his stripes we are healed. And if we hold it up to the light, it has pierce marks. He was pierced through for our transgressions. Also after the dinner is the third cup of the Passover Seder. And this cup is also known as the cup of redemption. And this cup, Jesus handed to his disciples and said, take this and drink of it, for this is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. And they all partook of the third cup of the Passover, and it would foreshadow and teach of what the sacrifice he would pay for the sins of Israel, not only the sins of Israel, but for the sins of the whole world. So that's basically Passover in a nutshell. Now, the Bible says that for 7 days from Passover, the children of Israel were to eat unleavened bread. And when we look, we have here, okay, unleavened bread for 7 days, which means that is with that which is without sin. And in the scriptures, we have something important to be said, so I say it right, word for word, from 2 Corinthians, verse 5:21. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he made him who knew no sin to become a sin offering on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he is the sin offering, and he was the lamb. Also, for the Passover, the children of Israel were to pick a lamb without blemish to offer it before the Lord. And so Yeshua, Jesus, was the unleavened lamb of God, the lamb without blemish. That was the eternal Passover. That all who believe in his name and apply the blood to the doorpost of their heart, death will forever pass over them, and they will be sanctified unto the Lord. So after celebrating the Pesach, or the Passover, we celebrate the unleavened bread. The next one is the first fruits. Now, what's interesting about the first fruits, it is the first day after the Sabbath from Passover. And Yeshua, it says in the scriptures, rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And he actually rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits because it would come right after Passover. So he died on what? When did he die? What Jewish holiday or what biblical feast did he die? Passover. So he died on the Passover. He rose from the dead on first fruits. He is the unleavened Lamb of God. Now also, if you count 49 days from first fruits, you have what's called Shavuot or Pentecost. If you go to church today, you'll hear the term Pentecost over and over again. But actually, Pentecost is a Jewish feast. And it represents the latter first fruits of the harvest, or the wheat harvest. And during Shavuot, all the first fruits of the grains are brought into the storehouse. And the Jewish people celebrate this every year, and what they do at the Passover, at Shavuot, is they hold up two loaves of not leavened bread, or unleavened bread, but leavened bread. In other words, bread with leaven. So why would it now be bread with leaven? Because both Jew and Gentile need redemption, and they both have leaven. Anyway, so there it is in a nutshell.
Mondo.
Mike.
I'm hosting the whole event. I really want to thank you for coming out and sharing.
What's that?
I really want to thank you for coming out.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Enjoy it.